looked to Ryan as though its head were scraping the raw stone. The front paws flailed at the air. Ryan dropped the Sig Sauer and instantly leveled the rifle, aiming below the creature's jaw, knowing from the angle that the 7.62mm full metal jacket round should penetrate upward into the brain pan. As he sighted, a nanosecond before squeezing the trigger, he saw an odd thing. A bullet from one of the others had hit the animal from the side and traveled through the upper bones of its skull, bursting the grizzly's left eye as it exited. Ryan worked the bolt action with a fluid ease, snapping off a second bullet into the target area of the throat. Then she was over him. One paw knocked the Steyr spinning from his hands, nearly dislocating his thumb and forefinger. Ryan tried to dodge clear of the now toppling giant, but there was simply nowhere to run. It crashed down from its full height, smothering Ryan, sending him backward, the rear of his head striking a rounded boulder. Ryan blinked open his eye. The only thing he knew was that he was still alive. He had no sense of passing time. He could have been unconscious for 5 seconds or 5 days. He was lying inside the cave, his head propped against the corpse of the monstrous mutie grizzly. The air was filled with the foul stink of its passing, blood, urine, and fecal matter, as well as the fading scent of discharged guns. Trader was kneeling at Ryan's side, rubbing snow over his forehead, while Thea Gibson was sitting cross-legged a yard or so away, her rifle across her lap.
You all right, Ryan?
I think so.
Ryan lifted a hand to touch the back of his head. His fingers encountered a large raw lump. When he squinted at his hand, he saw a smear of blood.
That was simply the most terrifying experience of my entire life. I had no idea that such creatures still roamed the earth.
Trader rested a foot on the body.
Well, I'll tell you one truth, lady. This bitch won't be doing no more roaming.
Yoto!
The voice was so close, Mildred jumped and nearly rattled the barrel of her Czech revolver against the tiled corridor wall. She backed away from the corner. From where she was now standing, it wasn't possible to see down toward what had looked like a prison cell.
What? You're wanted at the reception area. Seems the hunt's gone wrong. Only two groups came back.
Who?
Buford and one of the Ellisons.
Which Ellison?
Oh, who knows? The other one shaved his mustache, too. Now we got identical Scarface bastards.
Mildred continued to inch backward, glancing behind her.
There might be a search for the Gibson woman and a group. Not sure of all the details about who's missing there.
There was a window with a long white blind that came right to the floor. Holding her breath, Mildred began to edge toward it.
What? Go out in this blizzard to look for that wrinkled dyke and some outlanders? You gotta be greasing my wheels.
Nope, order comes right from the top.
Tell Crichton you couldn't find us.
Oh, yeah, he'd love that. Come on, get off your butts and follow me.
The blind was made from thin sheets of plastic slats, made fragile by the passing of time. Mildred lifted one side and began to try to slip behind it. The glass of the window was close to her back, and she caught a glimpse of fading light and whirling flakes of fresh snow.
All right. What could those sorry bastards do if they ever got loose anyway?
There was a crack in one of the slats, right at eye level, and Mildred could see the short stretch of corridor where she'd been hiding. She drew in a sharp breath as the three Sekhmen appeared in her line of sight.
Still snowing?
It was the last time I looked.
There's a window right there behind that blind. Go see what it's like outside.
Go and see your fucking self.
Mildred didn't have much doubt that she could probably manage to take out all three Sekhmen if she had to, if she wanted to. It might be better to just pretend she was frightened and had gotten lost. But she was becoming increasingly suspicious as to what she and the others had stumbled upon.
Listen to you two. Fuck it. I'll go see.
No, leave it, Eddie. You can look when we get back up there. Crichton was all fired up. I don't want to keep him waiting any longer.
If Mildred had stuck out her right hand holding the ZKR-551, the barrel would have touched the white plastic jacket of the nearest SEC guard.
Yeah. All right. I just love the idea of hurrying up to go out into this shit and weather in the dark.
Close.
Mildred wondered how Christy was getting on at her interrogation, and considered if she ought to start making her way back to the living quarters. The news about some of the hunters being lost was disturbing, but she tried to blank any worry about JB from her mind. Behind her, she could see that it was still snowing. There was a catch on the window, and Mildred tried to open it, wondering whether she might escape from the trap by going around the outside of the institute. But the metal was fragile, and the lock snapped in her hand, leaving the window stuck a little ajar. A freezing wind blew a few flakes of white in around her feet, melting as soon as they touched the floor. Mildred eased herself from behind the blind. A careful look around the corner of the passage showed it to be completely deserted. When Mildred glanced the other way, the sight of the bolted iron door was too tempting to ignore. Moving quickly and quietly, she passed the table where the two guards had been playing cards. For a few moments, she stood quite still, listening, hearing nothing. It was as though she had been locked into an underground tomb, away from all sight and sound. Mildred turned and looked at the pale green door. She reached out, placed her hand on the cold metal of the closed grill, and slid it open. She peered in. There was a short passage that appeared to end in a blank wall, with half a dozen green-painted doors on either side. By pressing her face to the metal, Mildred could see that they were all bolted on the outside.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
The large bolt moved easily. There was a keyhole for a security lock, but the door, unlocked, swung open. The revolver steady in her right hand, Mildred moved into the corridor. Christy was lying on her bed when JB entered. He looked cold and tired, and melting ice dripped from his face, fedora, and clothes.
Ryan's missing.
I heard. And Traitor.
Yeah. It's blown up a real blizzard out there.
JB took off his fedora and shook water from its crown.
They went down toward the east, with 5 sec men and a woman white coat.
Christy sat up as the others drifted into her room. They were all in the same state as JB. Doc looked the worst for the wear.
How went your inquisition? I trust you resisted bravely?
I guess so. The first thing they...
Wait a minute, Christy. Where's Mildred?
She went off on a wreck on her own.
What?
The eyes behind JB's misted glasses were bright with anger.
We were kept waiting a long time. We realized that the sec forces were seriously depleted with the hunt going on. She's been curious about what was going on in that locked-off part of the wing.
Dark night!
JB turned away from Christy and stared at the blank wall.
She'll be all right, JB. The worst that can happen is that they'll catch her and she'll tell them she got lost. And they'll bring her right back here.
You think so, do you, Christy? Your muty powers of seeing tell you that, do they?
Hey, back off, JB.
Back off. She shouldn't have been so stupid as to go off and do that, and you should have had more sense than to let her go.
Jack had been standing by the window.
Cool down. She shouldn't have done it, but she shouldn't come to no harm. No reason to think there's danger.
Yeah? Well, I just hope you're right, Jack.
Mildred noted that a white card was fitted into a slot outside each of the cells. Cells. There was no way that Mildred could avoid that word in her mind. There was a long string of coded letters and numbers on each card, presumably giving information about each of the inhabitants. Mildred reached up with her left hand.
Okay, here we go, girl.
She slid open the first of the rectangular observation slits. She looked in, closed her eyes, then looked again. The cell was about 8 feet square with a toilet facility in one corner, along with a small basin and faucet. There was a fold-down table on the left-hand wall, clipped upright. A white steel bed covered in a white plasticized mattress was against the far wall. There was no window in the cell, just a small vent slit high above the bed. The overhead light was relentlessly bright, revealing the naked figure that lay on the mattress. At first, Mildred thought it was a hermaphrodite, until she saw that it had no sexual organs at all. There was simply smooth skin at the junction of the thighs. No body hair was visible, and none grew on top of the rounded skull. As though it sensed her presence, the thing turned its face toward her. The eyes were covered with a coil of lace-like skin. The nose was missing,